Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Back to the Femi Pod. It is great to be back. I feel like we are on a roll, which is exciting because we had a big break and now we're back regularly recording for y'all. So this week we are at episode 113 and of course I've got my bestie Esty with me. Est, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks, Lids. It's Waitangi Day today in Aotearoa, so a special day for us. And I just did my longest run for a very long time, so I was up to 40 minutes today, which was good. I have had a little bit of a flare-up this week with my Achilles, a little bit more tender again. So I'm working very closely with the incredible Grace from Femi. She is our medical expert physiotherapist, and she has reassured me that, you know, tendons don't heal in a linear fashion. There's going to be times where it flares up and calms down again. So I'm just taking each day as it comes and trying to really listen to my body. And at the moment, I am only running 3 times a week. So I could do like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but I can also take a few extra days in between runs to really let it recover in between. So yeah, I'm feeling good. Running's going well, and yeah, excited for the long weekend. Going up to Auckland on Friday afternoon. My sister is getting married, and she's trying on wedding dresses, so it'll be really nice to hang out with her and the family. So I'm good. How are you, Liz?
That's so exciting. I'm good. I am in Aotearoa, New Zealand today, which is funny. I feel like I'm in a different country every time we record the podcast. So I made it back from Mexico in one piece and had the best time over there. It was so amazing. We were over there shooting for Nike Running for the After Dark Tour, and Mexico City is just like stunning. So it was a really cool week to be there and like hang out with the Nike woman and Nike Running crew and just like get to meet other women runners from all over the world. Like I was with women from Seoul and from India, and obviously there were women there from Mexico. So yeah, it was so fun. But it was a long trip. I think my trip home was about 25 hours. That was back to Melbourne. And then I got to spend a few days in Melbourne, which was so nice. Some of you may have seen on our socials, we are launching our next merch line, which is very exciting and has been a hot topic of conversation for a long time. People are always asking for Femi merch, which we love, and we're finally able to deliver on. And so this week I was in Melbourne sorting all the merch, getting it ready to go. This is our line. I know for those people probably just listening, you can't see it, but we are repping today. And it was cool and nice to be in Melbs, although it was very hot. It was like 38 degrees on some of the days. And I did a session on Tuesday at the track and I did mile reps, and it was like, I want to say it was like 95% humidity. It was maybe like 25 or 26, which is hot, but not like crazy hot. But in the morning, that is warm. And yeah, it was stinking hot, but it was fun. I actually ran really well, which I don't know how, because I was like jet lagged. I'd barely had any sleep. I just come back from Mexico. But I feel like because I hadn't like properly run for like a couple of days, I was like fresh and ready to go. So it was good. Running and training is going well. I am, yes, back in New Zealand probably for a couple of weeks, and hoping to just like keep the consistency and the training going and keep working towards the half marathon. And yeah, it's I feel like I've spent so much time in New Zealand over the last year, so it definitely feels like it is kind of my second home, I guess. But good to be here, but also like I want to be in Australia too, so it's a bit bittersweet.
Bittersweet, definitely. I feel like just touching on your mile reps, I don't know, all your training in Noosa probably paid off for that session as well, because like I imagine Melbourne people wouldn't be as used, like they may be used to the heat, but maybe not the humidity, whereas Noosa is like the combination of the two.
Crazy. Yeah, definitely. I said that to James, who came to the session with me, and I was like, I don't know if I would have been able to do this if I hadn't done all that training in Noosa in that heat. And not only is it hot in Noosa at 5:30 or 6 a.m., it's also humid and sunny. The sun is up, whereas in Melbourne, it was actually dark. It felt like I was running in the middle of the night, but it was just really hot and humid. So I actually think it's probably worse in sunny hosts. But it was nice. Like, I just find going to the track and doing a workout alone sometimes a really good test of mental strength. And I really like to like split my workouts up and like hit particular paces for like, or splits for like every 200 on the track. And it just makes me real commit to the workout when I'm alone. And I do think that stuff is so beneficial for when it comes to racing and you're like in it by yourself. You don't have paces around you. You don't have your friends to like be running next to you all the time, maybe sometimes, but a lot of the time you are alone. And so I find those sessions where you're just like constantly pushing and self-talk to yourself, just like really getting yourself up and ready to go. I find that stuff such a good test of mental strength. And I do love it in a really odd, sick way.
You're a real sicko. I feel like, yeah, most people listening are real sickos. So I'm sure they relate. Just for some inspo and people listening, Liz, what was your fastest mile that you did?
Oh, I think my fastest mile was like 5:25, I think. Maybe like 3:20 or just over pace, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. 3:20 pace. Ooh, that's awesome. It's so funny. Far.
I like said to James, the first few reps I didn't want to go too fast. So like I set the goal of doing like 3:30s for the pace across the mile rep, and I would finish each rep and I was like, damn, did that one too fast. And then it was like the second one, I was like, too fast. And he's like, a few seconds too fast. And then I got to like second to last rep and I was like, I actually feel really good. I shouldn't maybe hold back too much. That's not saying you should go and smash yourself in your workouts, but I think when you feel good, you should like push a little. So yeah, it was fun. The last rep was my fastest, and it's always nice to finish your speed sessions like feelings good and strong.
I love that. Yeah, I always tried to do last rep faster. Sometimes it doesn't work depending on how you've played out the rest of the reps and if you've held anything back, kind of like what you were just saying. It kind of reminds me of, and this is terrible coaching by the way, this coach in Auckland was famous for last rep has to be the fastest rep, and if it's not, you have to do more.
It's awesome.
So stupid, eh? Because like the reason that it's not the fastest is most likely because they're cooked and like they shouldn't be doing more reps. So anyway,
that's
terrible
crazy
coaching.
But like it's funny because I did a K rep workout a couple of weeks ago, right? And I was in my late luteal phase. I think I was like literally a few days away from getting my period. And I was only doing K reps and I could like barely hit 3:28s, 3:27, 3:28s for the reps. And that was like, I felt dead. Like it was really hard. And then a couple of weeks later, I'm doing mile reps and I'm doing them faster than I could do the Ks. And I felt so good. And I'm like, for those people who don't think your cycle impacts you, like obviously there might be other things at play as well, but I'm like, it's so obvious for me anyway, that like my cycle can affect how I feel in those like speed and high intensity sessions. And that was just like a real clear indicator of that. I'm like, yeah, that session a few weeks ago was so freaking hard. And then this week I'm like, this is actually, I could have done a couple more reps, I reckon.
Yeah, I love that. I even notice it in like, I'm only running easy at the moment, but like, I don't know, like I'll be running the same, round about the same pace for my easy runs. And like, yeah, luteal phase, I'm like, when I'm getting close to my cycle starting again, I'm like, this is hard. And then my cycle starts and I'm like, this is easy. It's just like, it's crazy how much it changes. So yeah, I agree. Like all the people saying it's not true, like you probably don't experience it yourself and you may be one of those women that aren't impacted by the cycle, but a lot, and like I would say like 90% of women probably have some form of impact of their cycle. So yeah, it is pretty frustrating when you hear stuff like that.
Yeah. And like some cycles, I think I'm more impacted than others. It's not always like linear and it's not always the same, but there is, yeah, always like, I don't know, a slight impact at least. So like take that into account when you're training and train with Femi, y'all. But something I think I've been like thinking about quite a lot recently is like motivation and I don't know, like how I find motivation in myself to run and my relationship with running and how that like has changed over time. And I think you and I have like had plenty of discussions on the pod about motivation. And I think the last time we talked about it was probably at least a year ago. And I also believe that over time, our relationship with motivation to run changes as well. I was speaking with one of my friends recently who is like an elite professional athlete. She's not a runner, but she plays a team sport where they're on the field playing for like an hour and a half to 2 hours a game. And she was saying how they get tested for their running all the time. And the test is to go and run for 6 minutes as fast as you can. And then they count the distance that you cover within that 6 minutes. And like, firstly, I'm like, what is the point of that? Like, you are on the field for such a long period of time. What is 6 minutes going all out really going to tell you about your fitness? And also she was just telling me how like it made her feel so stressed about running and how she like actually had it, like she didn't love running and had not a great relationship with running because of this like test that they regularly have to do, you know? And I'm like, what's the point of all of that? And like your relationship with running could be so different if you just had a like more positive take on it and it wasn't all about comparison to your teammates or competition with your teammates. It's all about just like you and your progression and what you can achieve in your own running journey. And I was thinking about this a lot with myself and how back in the day, definitely throughout my 20s, my motivation to run and to train was very much like an extrinsic motivation. It came from like external things around me, including how much faster I can be than my teammates or where I can get placings in races, and constantly comparing myself to others. And that was really like a huge driver of mine. And I am pretty competitive. Recently, Es was telling me how someone was calling me, well, feral. Feral.
Yeah, one of my good friends in Raglan was saying, Liz seems like a real feral queen, like as in like she's like competitive and scrappy. And I was like, you nailed it.
I mean, yeah, I would have to agree. Like, I think I've got this real innate competitiveness to me. And I think in my 20s, that competitiveness came out in terms of like comparing myself and being competitive with other people. And I would be the same as my friend who would turn up to those tests against her teammates. When I would turn up to races, I was just constantly stressed and nervous about competing with others and how well I could do against them. And then I reckon like late 20s, early 30s, this like switch flipped for me and it became much more of like an intrinsic motivation of how can I be the best me that I can possibly be, and who cares about everybody else? And so I started going into races. I really found myself enjoying races where it was against both women and men, because it didn't matter where you came. It was all about your time. And then once I started doing that, I started realizing actually just running to a time that I think I'm capable of, the goal time that I want to hit, whether that's a 5K or a marathon, just like presented such a more healthy and balanced relationship with running and with racing. And so I would go into races and be like, okay, I want to run X for 10K. I'm just going to split it into my 5K and my 8K. And these are the paces and these are the splits. And I don't care what's going on around me. It's not about anyone else here. It's about me just hitting those paces. And I just found that like, yeah, so much more enjoyable. Like I really like started loving to race and not getting so stressed, because I only set a goal that I knew that I could achieve, and if I knew I could achieve it, I would just go and execute on it. And obviously things might change and you might not have the race that you dreamt of, but it definitely helped me like find a different motivation that has like continued to stick since then. Like it's really helped me just like enjoy racing. Not that I've done a lot of it recently, but I'm excited to do more.
Yeah, I love that. I think your mindset really inspired me, because I think it's similar. Like, it depends on the environment you're in as well, right? Like, You were hella bent on like making it to these teams. You had a coach that was very similar mindset and was probably extremely competitive as well, pushing you. So I think for me, when I was in those environments too, it was all extrinsically motivated as well. It was like, yeah, what, where can I come? Who, how much can I beat X person by? Or if they got a PB or something, I would feel like pangs of jealousy or like, you know, and I just like, that's so toxic because, I mean, it's natural, but like, it is toxic when you think about it because like, we should be happy for other people. It doesn't mean you're any worse than you are, you know, like you're still in the exact same place. It hasn't impacted you. It's just like actually a good thing for them. So yeah, I completely agree, but I think it is part in part where you were in your environment and like your coach and that sort of thing as well. And I think sometimes realizing that maybe those environments aren't getting the best out of yourself. I think for me, I've definitely been similar, you know, been through that journey. And now one of my big goals actually for this year was to just not compare myself to anyone I used to like race against or compete against, because I was finding myself kind of getting, especially with my injury, sometimes getting a bit sad seeing like these gals that I used to race against, and they sort of hadn't really been through any injury, or you know, when I had long COVID and everything that happened with my partner getting sick and all of that stuff combined plus this injury, like I feel like if I was to compare to them, I've basically just gone completely backwards and they've progress massively over the last 3 years. So like if I'm going to focus on that, I'm going to feel crap about myself. But if I can focus on the progression like one day at a time, you know, intrinsically and for myself, I feel so much better. So that's what, that was one of my massive goals this year, is to like look at their progression with like happiness for them, and look at my own as happiness for myself. So that's been really positive change, and I think it's helped me a lot going through my injury, because yeah, if I was to focus on that, I know I would spiral and feel really, really rubbish about where I'm at, with my running. So for those going through injuries and that sort of thing, I think it's super important to find your reason to stay motivated, and that it shouldn't be looking at, you know, other people and how far ahead they are of you. It should be, you know, what can you do in the in this moment to get healthy again and get better from your injury. So yeah, that's definitely been a been a big focus of mine so far this year. It is hard though, like there's also the comparison of yourself, right? And so like looking at where I was 3 years ago versus where I am now, it can be a little bit disheartening, but I also know like life just throws stuff at you and you never know what's going to happen. So like if you can keep bouncing back and keep showing up and keep motivated, you never know where you'll end up. So I think yeah, it just, it is what it is, and you can't control so many things, but you can control like showing up every day. Yeah.
I do think like taking that mindset of like being intrinsically motivated and focusing only on you and like what you can control is also just such a like more sustainable approach to training, because you'll be thinking about what can I do today that's going to make me a good runner in like 6 months or in 12 months or in 3 years. It's not about like what can make me a better runner tomorrow to beat X, Y, and Z, or run it like, you know, run against those people or look like those people or whatever it might be. So you actually start to make better decisions for yourself as well, because you are really just thinking about what is right for you. It also comes to training, you know, like, and that's why we talk about platforms like Strava, where you're constantly comparing your data to others and then just like seeing what other people have done and maybe they look like or feel like they're faster than you, and then feeling like you need to go and do that as well. But if you're like, well, I just want to be running really well in 6 months, I'm not going to go and do that silly session that someone else did because that they are like quicker right now. Who knows what's going to happen? Like, you just have to like take a really smart approach and a really selfish approach to what you're doing. But you're right, it's hard because you also have that ability to compare yourself to old you, or you know, potentially where you want to be in the future. And like, I don't know, and that also gets hard. Like that the competitiveness in me has shifted from being competitive with other people to just being competitive with myself and like trying to be the best possible version of me, the best possible runner that I can be. And sometimes that gets hard as well, which it's fun. It's so funny because I just like, I think I have no chill. And last night I was in an Uber and I was talking to the Uber driver and we were having this like big chat about being an Uber driver and what it's like and whatnot. And I was sitting there thinking, oh yeah, that would be pretty cool. Like, I wonder if there's like awards to be like the best Uber driver, or like how could you be like the best Uber driver? I'm like way too competitive. Why couldn't you just like exist, you know?
I don't think that's in your nature, Dals.
I just can't settle, but it's like trying to channel that energy into the right places and like set these expectations for myself that are realistic and achievable, but also like push my boundaries.
Totally. I love that. The Uber thing is so funny. That is so you, feral queen. Yeah. I was reading this study recently about motivation, male versus female. It was just so interesting. And like men are way more extrinsically motivated. They're like, they want to meet their match. They want to go hard against their fellow sports peeps. Whereas like women are definitely more intrinsically motivated. It's not like a blanket rule, but like they are in general. And women tend to feel more motivated by seeing like personal progression and like growth and like skill. And I think that's so interesting and so true. And I think it reminded me of how many women reach out asking about so many technical questions about running. And it just makes so much sense when you think about it from that angle, because they're like, well, how can I be better? Maybe I could look at my form, or I could do more strides, or I could do XYZ. They really want to understand like the program that they're given and like understand why. And then I think about what Femi's doing and like how much context we're putting into the training for women. And I feel like it's just nailing that whole like intrinsically motivated aspect where women can, yeah, really understand why they're getting that session, how their cycle is going to impact them, how they can benefit from nutrition, recovery, all these factors that can help them progress. But yeah, I just thought it was really interesting and wanted to bring it up.
That's so true. I feel that is 100% like bang on. And I feel like we are always constantly wanting to learn to get better, like whether that's in our careers and our jobs or in running. Like I feel like women are always kind of reaching out for that education or resources to like improve ourselves, to see progression in ourselves. Whereas I definitely think men are much more like, well, like all I need to do is beat the next person. You know, like, how can I be better than the person next to me? Yeah, funny. I find that so interesting. I think what I was thinking about actually on my morning run this morning was the confidence piece as well, right? Like I feel like men can get up or finish a training session or talk about their running and be like, oh, I'm running so well at the moment, or like I'm running really fast or really strong, and no one really blinks an eyelid. They really just like encourage that confidence and make it really normal to speak like that as a man. And then I feel like when women do that, people feel uncomfortable. Like if I was to get up and be like, yeah, I'm running really good at the moment, and I'm like, I'm smashing my training and I'm like doing so well, I feel this like uncomfortableness around me and the people that I'm talking to, because they just aren't used to women carrying that confidence. And I just like also think that kind of plays into this like competitive and comparison and motivation chat as well, because it's all kind of tied into one, you know, like women should have the ability and desire to like carry that confidence and speak about themselves. If they fucking feel like they're smashing it, then say that you're smashing it. There is like, and I think also putting that out to the world can just like continue to help build your confidence over time as well. But yeah, look, people need to get used to like woman being proud.
Okay, we're going to go from me to you, and we're going to say something that we're confident about right now. I'm confident in my ability to stay motivated and strong throughout a long-term injury, and I am proud of myself for the progression I've made over the last few weeks, and that I'm already running 8Ks.
Yes, I love that. That's so good.
You go.
Proud of me. I am really proud of my consistency and feel that I have the ability to like get up and go no matter what life throws at me. And I'm proud of that. Yeah.
I love that about you. Yeah. You really like, you'll be like, oh, I just traveled 15 hours. I got up at 5 a.m. and went for a run. I'm like, damn. She's like, yeah, she always gets those.
It's good. And I listened to this really good podcast recently. I don't know if you've listened to East with Steve Magnus, and he talks all about consistency and how like training over months and years and years and years is just going to like benefit you so much more than just like a block of high intensity training. And I'm like, it's so true. It doesn't matter if I can't get a speed session in here or there, because I'm like constantly layering my miles on top of my miles every single week. And some weeks are more than others, but like over the months and even just over the last year of running that I've done, there hasn't been like any really like specific speed or intensity blocks, but the consistency in the K's I think is paying off for me right now. So it's a good one. If you haven't listened, you should definitely listen. It's with the Rich Roll podcast.
So good. I'm waiting. I need to do that. I need to listen. And I feel like we should do a podcast on this, but like I feel like the marathon and the marathon training block is such a example of what you were just saying, because we get asked quite often, like my longest run for my marathon training block's only 32 k's, like I don't think it's going to give me enough confidence. But it's like, well, you could do like 38 and then have to have like 2 weeks of recovery, or you could layer upon layer upon layer week after week after week, and that's how you're going to be ready for the 42 k. like it's very rare, unless you're probably super elite and very fast, to run 42.2k in your training block. So it's like kind of a good example of how layering and consistency over time gets you ready.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this a heap, but like if you're running a marathon, I would always suggest that you aim for a half marathon first, and then before the half, aim for a 10k first. And that could mean months, if not years, of training before you get to the marathon. I think signing up to a marathon as one of your first races and having it on your bucket list and doing it within a 16-week training block is not ideal. It's really risky for your body. And I think that's definitely where we see the questions arise of like, why am I only going to run 30 Ks in my marathon training when the marathon is 42? You aren't going to reach 42. You probably won't get close to 42 Ks because of the amount of time that you have to be able to build up your training load in a really gradual way. If we overload you too quickly, you will 100% get injured and burnt out, and you won't enjoy the training at all. Like, it definitely takes time for your body to become conditioned to the load of marathon training and to the load of those Ks. And too often do I see people trying to load up their mileage too quickly and then get niggles and then get injuries and then not even be able to make it to the start line of the marathon. The best way that you can build up to that distance and that mileage is to do it over a long period of time. And that might sound really boring, but running is boring at times, and that is just the reality of it. But yeah, if you want to do it well and you want to run sustainably for a long, long time, past the marathon, continue to run. You have to give your body the time to be able to do that. Yeah, I would be lying if I didn't say it frustrated me seeing that, like seeing people who are just like rushing themselves into the distance because it's like the latest trend to run a marathon. But yeah, you've got to like look after your body.
I have been horrified to see some couch to marathon programs pop up. Like, are you kidding? Like, couch to marathon, just don't do it. Like, do a couch to 5K. And then a 10K, and then a half, and then a marathon. Like, let's see, it's like so risky and probably won't be that fun as well. Like, you're going to put your body under so much stress, and then you're going to run this race and it's going to probably feel like ass. So maybe don't do it.
Yeah. Like, we run because it's fun and we're here to have a good time, you know, and you see so many people, push through these training blocks and be like, hating it and hating running and then like ruining their relationship with running forever. And I'm like, what is the point of that at all? Like, just because it's a marathon and it's 42 Ks and it's like seen as this like the epitome of running. It's not. Like, a 5K is also incredible. A 10K is amazing. A half marathon is a huge feat. And so if you are someone who has only been running for even a couple of years, stick to those, I'm not going to say short, but shorter distances. Focus on them and do them really well. That is only going to pay off when it comes to stepping up to the marathon distance. Like, I was running at a really high level for at least 6 to 7 years before I stepped up to the marathon. And I even now look back and I think I probably started the marathon too young. Like, you need miles in your legs and time in the body to like get there, and it will just like be so worthwhile once you finally get to that distance.
That
effort. All right, well, that is it from us today. We appreciate you all for tuning into this chat. We will be back next week. We actually have a very exciting guest for next week, so you will see who very soon. But thank you so much. Thanks, Est, and have a lovely long weekend.
Thanks, team.
Bye.